Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and today I am super excited to have two guests join me. They are with Carrier Defender. It's Dan Artave and Sean Matthews, and this company is doing some really cool stuff, solving some massive issues. Gentlemen, get right into it, man. Tell me about Carrier Defender.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for having us on.
Good to be here, Mike.
I appreciate y'all. So, guys, you started out seeing an issue in the trucking and transportation space. What was the big problem?
Yeah, so during my time running the brokerage at a large trucking company here in Houston, I noticed a few of my carriers, this was back in 22, they would get hit with something called a freight guard or a negative review on their trucking company. And some of the repercussions for this review, they wouldn't be able to grow anymore. They had trouble soliciting for spot freight on the market. And for these specific guys, the review wasn't completely accurate. This was a flatbed trucking company down in Houston that had been hacked. And because of that hack, they had a permanent blemish on their reputation. So, that's kind of the story of how the idea came about. I'm not the first individual who has seen this before, but it's been an idea that I personally had wanted to do something for quite some time. But it's about execution these days. With any good idea, you have to bring the right team together. So about a year after that, in early 2024, I think in early April, I was able to network with Alex Bates and then Dan Artave. Dan Artave does provide kind of some of the heavyweight that we do need to do something like this and stay out of jail safely. So he's the legal aspect that keeps our noses clean. And then Alex Bates is our other third partner. And he provides that marketing arm that we need to make enough noise to educate both sides of the aisle. And so, yeah, that's kind of how this we came about. I hope that's a good answer. And if Dan has anything to add.
Yeah, perfect. So let me make sure I've got it right, John. If I were to paraphrase this, in typical consumer life, we go to a restaurant. If we have a good experience, maybe we log on to Yelp and we give them 5-star reviews. If we have a lousy experience, maybe we log on to Yelp and that's not such a positive review. In trucking, there are the abilities in many places to leave feedback. There's the basics. Look, let me go to, some such and such as Google profile. Maybe you go to Glassdoor if you've worked for a company. But there are also very specific tools from whether it's DAT or Truckstop or Carrier Assure, where you can go find out about a trucking company's reputation. Is this a carrier I want to work with?
Correct.
And at the same time, because those tools and those places to find out more exist, there's potential for abuse, right? Like if I'm a broker who had a bad experience with a trucker, and maybe it wasn't the trucker's fault. If I'm a predatory broker who just wants to make it so that my competitors look worse, hell, if I'm competing with a trucking company down the street, in some cases there's no verification that says I've actually worked with them. So I can log into Glassdoor and say they're a terrible place to work. I can log into, various websites and say you should never work with these guys, despite the fact that I clearly have an angle in this. You're looking around saying there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations about how to do it a little bit better. But right now, most folks are really focused on the negative reviews. There really isn't a whole lot of value in leaving a positive comment on the trucking company these days. And, if you do take a look, you can see it pretty clearly. If you go to Google review, if you go to DAT reviews, you can get a pretty good list of what truckers think about a broker. But then again, those brokers perfectly stay in business because when they have the freight, they have most of the leverage. And a trucking company is going to take that load no matter what, if it's the backhaul on the market. Now, things might change in 2025, but, from what we've gathered, the review platforms that are out there, they're mostly there to do yellow and red flags. And that's really almost the only data brokers are using to make their vetting decisions. So we came up with Carrier Defender to see if we can police some of that a little bit. We've had a lot of good feedback from the folks we've helped so far. It would be ideal for the industry if there was a better solution than just us. But again, you got to start somewhere.
Now, Sean, if I work at a trucking company, when's the point that I bring you in? Am I bringing you in as soon as I, not as soon as I get going, right? Because obviously you're going to run into some issues with do I have enough years of service, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
But Are you the person I engage preemptively when I look around and say, man, my operations are great, let me fortify my position in the industry? Or are you the in case of glass, I've got an emergency, I'm breaking glass, in case of glass. Yeah. Are you the in case of emergency break glass guy? Where should I consider you in the trucking life?
I think it's a great analogy there, Mike. So we're definitely the break glass solution. We definitely do not want to be the first stop for a trucking company seeing a problem, because you know we cost money. We're a company. There are some ways that a carrier can go out there and see if they can help themselves, if they can have a conversation with the broker that they have a problem with, and just mediate on their own terms. We're kind of a step two solution if that doesn't work. You know, a lot of the times we're going to see brokers, either they're a little bit emotional or they dig in their heels, and that's where someone like us needs to show up and see if we can bring them to the table. I know Dan has had some serious experience there, so I do want to give him a chance to add some context there.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to let talk a little bit about how I got into this space. And like Sean said, I'm an attorney. I have my own law firm, Artavit Law. We're based in Metro Detroit. And I've been on my own, running my own thing for about 5 years now. And I have a extensive background in business law. I also was an assistant attorney general with the state of Michigan. So I have a little bit of a government perspective as well. And so when I started my own law firm, I decided to focus on emerging technologies and internet type issues. And one thing that was hot back in 2020 was, can really anybody go online and just say whatever on Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the other review platforms, social media, what have you, without any sort of repercussions? And I decided to write an article about that. And actually the case that I was writing about happened to involve a broker and a carrier suing, or the carrier rather, suing the broker over a false freight guard. And the interesting thing about that one was that the case ended up resolving. I can't remember if it was a judgment or it might have gone to mediation, but in any case, it cost the broker over $600,000 just for this false freight guard that cost the carrier a large contract. And all of this is over stuff that was written on the internet. Now, after I wrote the article, I started getting truckers and carriers calling me from time to time and saying, hey, I read your article, running into the same problem. Who do I sue? How do I sue? And I had to, you know, kind of tell them, step back a little bit. Let's see what we can do. How can we resolve this without a lawsuit? Because look, lawsuits are expensive. They're unpredictable. I'm not a big fan of litigation, even though I'm an attorney. I'm also a trained mediator. So I was trained in the value of getting everybody to the table, taking the temperature down. And so, you know, I always was big in my mind when a trucker calls with a problem and a false review to try to help them out without running to court, filing a lawsuit, things like that. And then when Sean reached out to me, I thought, wow, this is the perfect opportunity to really create a product that's just streamlined and targeted towards these people that are calling me. And instead of, hey, you got to pay my lawyer fees, hey, you got to pay the court fees and do all this stuff, we came up with a really streamlined and effective industry-focused solution. I mean, I got Sean, I got Alex. These are industry professionals doing the work, talking to the brokers. It's not some lawyer on the phone doing scare tactics, talking to a person who's never talked to a lawyer before. These are industry professionals talking to industry professionals. And I think that's a lot of the reason for the success of Carrier Defender. It's just a very industry-centric approach that with people who know what they're talking about.
Got it. Now, guys, we've both touched on, you know, a freight guard. And I gave for folks outside the industry, I wanna make sure I get have you do a definition of a freight guard. Because we started off talking, oh, you know, somebody leaves a Yelp review, maybe the restaurant doesn't have a whole lot of recourse. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's Yelp. is it going to make or break a business? Whereas a freight guard is probably a little more serious. Am I right?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, a freight guard, at least in 2024, we're exiting that area, a phase where there was a very strong recession. But last year, if a carrier had a freight guard, they very likely would have gone out of business. Absolutely.
Or at the very least, trucks are standing still.
And guys, can I have you walk me through what a freight guard really is for folks that don't necessarily come from the industry?
Sure. Yeah. So a freight guard is always a negative review on a trucking company, and it's usually left by a freight broker. Sometimes it'll be left by a shipping company or a freight forwarder, but most of the time it's going to be a freight broker leaving a review on a trucking company. And it could be for various reasons, and a lot of the times it is important to police some of the bad behavior out there, like double brokerage, fraud, theft of cargo, holding loads hostage, or just poor service levels. And a lot of the freight guards are well-deserved, and they're designed to protect the industry from bad players. The hard part about it is, though, there's a portion of those freight guards that are false positives. And there's some good folks getting caught in the crossfire of trying to find the bad guy, and good people are going out of business for some of these freight guards and these bad reviews.
And Sean, where does a freight guard live? It's not like I'm going to log on to Google reviews and see, you know, freight guard in big capital. Yeah. It's not like Michael Scott yelling, I declare bankruptcy, right? This guy lives
there. Yeah, yeah. So you'll see them on a website called carrier411.com. It's a very, very popular tool that freight brokers do use to keep their businesses clean. So that's where you'll find these reviews.
Yeah, and also, just to clarify, when we refer to helping carriers resolve freight guards, we're not limited to freight guards. We also assist with any sort of negative review that's out there affecting the carrier's reputation. But as Sean mentioned, Carrier 411 has a very strong influence in the industry. So when the word freight guard is used, it's almost synonymous with any sort of negative review that affects a trucker's business.
Without naming names, can you come up with one example or a couple examples of really egregious, really crazy freight guards that really shouldn't have been there?
Yeah, I've got a few stories, and I'll let Dan share some of his. One of the toughest ones we've seen is when a carrier is guilty by association. So a lot of on the load boards, a lot of the problems we see where there's fraud is usually involved someone getting hacked. Their load board account got hacked. Some bad guy is running around with a password to someone else's login. And by doing that, they gain access to someone's truckload of cargo. And that's about $100,000 in a trailer. But when that happens, that bad actor is trying to rebroker the load to some innocent third party or carrier. And when that happens, we've had someone reach out to help for us. And that third party, that carrier took the load, ended up having a blind bill of lading, delivering the cargo to a cross-dock facility, thinking everything was great because they're following the instructions for this bad broker, this double broker, who they think is the original broker. And that cargo ends up getting stolen. Well, whenever cargo gets stolen, what's going to happen is the original broker of the load, who's getting skinned alive by their client, is going to leave a review on every single person they can find. They're going to do it on the hacked carrier. They're going to do it on the double broker MC, and they're going to do it on the third party, innocent party who actually moved the load. And at the end of the day, everyone's going to be losing a lot of business. And that's probably a repeatable case that happens regularly in the freight market right now that in my eyes is just heartbreaking because it's almost unavoidable. Because there's not a whole lot of ways a trucking company can double check if this is the original broker or not. You know, they got the load off the load board. They're assuming the load board was that accurate information. And if you call the shipper asking too many questions, that's another excuse to be put on a freight guard for backdooring clients. So it's a really hard situation for these carriers. But that's the example I give. And Dan's going to have more than one of his own.
I'll give you the my favorite one and the craziest one that I have that actually led to a lawsuit that I helped handle with the help of local counsel. And this situation involved a carrier that was based in California, had a truck out on the East Coast somewhere in Ohio, I think it was trying to avoid deadhead, so they were looking for a load. Happened to, you know, find a load board for a load of pickles needed to be picked up in Alabama. Carrion broker, all good. This is the night before. The day of the pickup, and mind you, the pickup's scheduled to be at 2 o'clock p.m., the agent of the broker that booked the loads starts blowing up the driver's phone. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? The driver was 6 hours away, but still able to make the load on, you know, the 2 o'clock pickup time on no problem. But the driver was sleeping because, you know, federal regulations require drivers to take rest. And, you know, this guy was blowing up his phone. The driver either, I can't remember, he picked up and told them to pound sand or just didn't pick up at all. And so the agent, for whatever reason, just starts freaking out about this and posts a freight guard or tries to reach out to the carrier's office back in California where it's 4 or 5 a.m. Nobody picks up. Posts a freight guard. Half an hour later, nobody's gotten back to him. He posts a second freight guard saying that there's no truck. They scammed us. They're all kinds of stuff. And then by the time the carrier on the West Coast is waking up and getting to the office, posts a third freight guard. So three freight guards get posted against this carrier, accusing them of all kinds of nonsense within maybe a few hours here. And the canceled the load, and you know the carrier's owner gets to the office, sees three freight guards, and goes, "What just happened?"
Right.
And the weird thing is, they tried to resolve this in, you know, like, "Hey, your agent went rogue," and everything like that. And the broker just never took responsibility. The carrier was a well-established carrier, but still lost 20-30% of its business just due to these ridiculous freight guards, and ended up going to court, getting the freight guard removed through judicial process, but nobody won. Nobody won because everybody ended up spending a lot of time and money on something that should have never happened in the first place. But that's really an extreme example, and that's one. But a lot of these cases also arise out of misunderstandings, even language barriers, because we have a lot of people in the industry where English is not necessarily their first language. So I've handled a couple of cases where I just basically play translator for people and have gotten freight guards resolved that way. I like doing those, but the ones where, you know, the brokers completely misunderstands the impact that a freight guard, let alone three freight guards, has on a carrier's business, those are the most difficult ones to handle. And that's where I think the benefit of having Sean and Alex involved, who speak the lingo and are very involved and familiar with the industry on the ground, is that makes Carrier Defender especially valuable and a real viable alternative to just, you know, hiring some random lawyer who doesn't even know what a freight guard is to get this thing resolved through threats and demands.
Hey guys, I ask every guest on the show the same final question. And Sean, I'm going to throw this one over to you. If you were talking to, let's say, a newer recent college grad, and that kid says to you, "Hey, I'm thinking about supply chain or thinking about logistics as a career path," what's the advice you give?
Ooh, supply chain. You know, my experience is throwing them into brokerage. I would tell them to see if they can survive 6 months in a used car lot, and then they would be prepared to be a freight broker, and they can make a whole lot of money in 2025, and this is probably the next 4 years, but probably test themselves out first, because it's chewing glass. That's what I'll say.
So learn to sell the hard way, and then everything else.
I would say so. I mean, you can't beat a sales training at a used car sales. That's what I've heard, and every person I've met, including John A. Rogers, is a great example. They're pretty good at what they do.
Hey guys, if anybody wants to learn more about Carrier Defender, get in touch. Maybe they've got a freight guard that they want to fight. Maybe they just think you're doing some cool stuff. What's the best way to reach out?
Best way to reach out is go to our website, www.carrierdefender.com. We have an intake form. You can fill it out and we'll get back to you.
Dan Artaves, Sean Matthews from Carrier Defender. Thank you both so much for joining the show. Appreciate you guys.